So in the gospel this evening, we hear about the call of Jesus to his disciples, who he lays down some demands for discipleship. We always seek to imitate Jesus. I was reading about this particular group of people in the 1960s. They're called Jesus people. So first of all, they grew beard. Mostly all the Jesus had six-pack on cross, so they may have that too. They started to dress in long... This is real thing. A probably very literal, fundamental Christian group started to walk in robes, grow hair. Apparently, the Western art, Jesus had hair and beard and he had a tan. So probably they must have got tan too. So, trying to imitate Jesus in a very unusual way, very fundamental, literal way. Jesus people. Well, if you look at the reading, today's reading, it's very demanding reading. There's the words of hating your family, and it includes... Hating your family includes your father, your mother, your wife, your brother, your sister, and all your family, and giving up all possessions. Now, and carrying the cross. Now, we have to understand this in the Middle Eastern context of Jesus. Now, in Jesus' time, if you want to make a life out of something, you have to stick to your family. When we say the family in Jesus' time, it's not just father and mother and siblings. It's a whole clan. Like if you have a surname called Abraham, it's a whole Abraham clan, not just your immediate family. Or if you have a surname called, you know, Melis, you know, all Meli included. You know, every Meli, every part of the world. So if you want to be, and you, what happens, you get invited to meals to different families. And that's how you network. And when you network, one farmer invite, oh, you come and work in my farm in here, or you come and work in my farm here. So there's a whole network of connections. And that becomes your economic security, your relationship security, and your social security. That is the Middle Eastern context, that you are in this clique group, family context. And that is where Jesus says, you have to leave your father, mother, family. And the understanding of father, mother, and the siblings and brothers can be very different too. And then the other thing Jesus says, you have to take up your cross. Now this cross, according to the translation, is the cross of economic cross. Economic cross means when you start to leave this family, apparently following this crazy prophet called Jesus, he is the new Messiah, he heals people, now you become part of his family, you are out of this network where you get invited to meals every now and then, you get introduced to farms and other sort of business in the family circle. You're all on a sudden on your own with Jesus, who doesn't have anywhere to sleep. No houses. Walks into people's houses. If anyone gives, he... And apparently a couple of times he works the miracles and make bread out of things. Of course, Jesus is saying economic cross. And he literally meant economic cross, that you will have nothing when you started to follow me. Because you are taking yourself out of the security. First of all, religious security. You are a Jew. And apparently Jesus is a Jew, but he's bringing a new change. Now you are taking out of the network of social, economic, and family network. You're all alone. You're with Jesus. So there is a risk in embracing this new life. And that is what Jesus is pointing to. There is a risk involving in this new life. Now, before this reading, we have to look at the whole chapter of 14 of Luke to understand this. Now, Jesus came to this, towards the end of this, he's a bit upset because he said two parables of dinner, big banquet in the church, two parables. One, in both parables, the invited did not turn up. In both parables, the invited did not turn up. So he got really upset. And that's when he says the message, if you want to follow me, you have to hate your family, you have to hate all these things. In one of the banquet story, there are three reasons given why they did not turn up for the banquet. And that is here, chapter 14, verse 15 onwards. If you want, you can read back at home. One of the reasons he gave, the first guy said, I have bought a piece of land, so I must go out and see it. That is the first reason I can come to your banquet, because I just bought a new place. So I have to go and see it, because, you know, moving furniture and things like that. Second is, another one said, I have just been married, and therefore I cannot come. And if you have just been married, you know that initial honeymoon time, I don't want to leave. It will wear out after 6 months, but, you know. The first 6 months, everything is very new, huh? Until you found a demon out of each one of you. So, I have just been married, so I cannot come. Very legitimate reason. The third one, another one said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to try them out. Please accept my regret. So three reasons. One reason of buying a new land. Second reason of getting married. Third reason of I have this new equipment. In this case, oxen, to try it out in the farmland. Now, these are the three reasons that helps a person not to go to war in Israel. So if you just bought a place, or if you have just bought oxen for, if bought something for your farmland, or if you are newly married, you are exempt from military duties in Israel, in the time of Jesus. Good thing. So when Jesus speaks this, he also means, I am in a war. Jesus says, I am in a war. I'm in a spiritual battle. And you can't have that excuses if I invite you. If I invite you, you can't have that excuse. In my battle, I look after you. This is the main point. In my battle, I am the leader. When you become my disciple, I give my word on my life that your whole life is secured with me. That is a leader. A leader is one. This put himself the forward in the military line, in the battlefield, gives the command, but he goes in the front. That is Jesus. He says, I invite you to my battle, and you have need of a land. Of course, land is what security. If you bought a new land, I know a lot of migrant people. Some of them sitting here. Now you're probably living in your rental house. Your dream is to get into mortgage. Sorry, get into... your dream is to buy a new house and just relax and have a sip of a coffee or a beer. This is my house. So that's a great feeling to have your own place. But to sit back and relax. Land is a necessity. And married life, intimacy, giving and sharing of love, this mutual love, intimacy. I need a companion in my life to share my joys, share my sorrows. Intimacy is important. And the third thing, my career, my farmland, my job. I need something to take me forward. That these three needs are very fundamental needs of a human being. No one can deny that. A land, somewhere to lay my head. A person that I can share my life with, intimacy. And the third thing,
need a job, a career.
Now, when Jesus invites us to his closer relationship, what he promises, if you follow me in this battle, if you allow me to be your captain, your major in this battlefield, what I can promise you is this.
I will look after all your needs. Jehovah Jireh, God provides. We read in the Psalm, O Lord, you have been my refuge all these years, in every age. It is my story that so far the Lord has looked after me in every single detail.
When Jesus invites us to his closer company, he's not a businessman who doesn't think, okay, I'm going to invite 10,000 people and I don't have the capacity to support them. No, he knows really, truly well and well. From the abundance of my Father's richness, he will look after the people who says yes to me. That is his confidence. He is not a businessman. He's not a man who doesn't calculate. If people put their lives on me, will I walk away from them? If I put my life on him, he will look after me every single detail of my life. He will never make me ashamed in front of others because I'm a Christian, because I'm a priest. Because he won the life for me and he is interested in me. He thinks I am precious, I am honored, and he loves me with his life. That is Christ. When we come closely to him, the only one thing he asks of us, a radical faith. The faith of Abraham. In the midst of his walking to Mount Moriah, carrying his little son, and the son asks, where is the goat to be sacrificed? Abraham says, the famous word, Jehovah Jireh, God provides. God does provide at the last minute. Look at Hagar and Ishmael. Apparently, Hagar is a sinner. Abraham slept with her. There's a child. And Hagar and Ishmael is kicked out of the clan. We don't hear much about them in the gospel. But the God looked after them in the wilderness. When Hagar was crying, leaving the son in the wilderness, let that son be die. Then there's a spring coming out of the wilderness. There is a shade in the wilderness. And God says to Adam, look after you. God looks after everyone. Only one thing he asks of us. Can you come out of the network of our own securities? Sometimes it can be economical security. I don't think anyone in Australia suffers that much from economical pressures. Maybe our struggles are more of spiritual struggles, that my individualism, I let God to certain areas of my life, but not some other areas of my life. I take control of this area of my life. My marriage, Lord, I love to come for Mass every Sunday, but I don't want to let you into my marriage. That's a bit of a messy world. God wants that messy place. I don't want to let you into my sexuality because it's a messy world. I don't want to let you into my financial crisis because it's a messy world. God, you can't do much, you know. After all, you are a poor carpenter. The one demand God makes us to us. If you want to be a disciple, hate your family, your wife, your brothers and your sisters, all your securities, all your comfort zones, and start to love me radically. Actually, the hate word, don't be afraid. Actually, the actual translation of Greek is prefer. Prefer one thing to the other. So of course, there is a word of I am blocking out all my options. I have only one option, which is Christ. With him, we have everything. With him, we have everything. Select chapter 2, the writer asks, has anyone who put the trust in the Lord been ashamed? Have you heard of that? No, if that is the thing, trust him, cling to him, he will look after you. Tonight, what we hear the message is that radical trust,
The radical faith, my God is enough for me. St. Paul's passion, my God, I am a prisoner of Christ. What a beautiful word. I'm a prisoner of Christ. That means, that's it, I'm done. God, Christ is enough for me. Christ has imprisoned me, and I'm happy to be in his prison because I have everything I need with Christ. How many prisons we are in? How many prisons we are in? We can be the prisoner of our own guilt. We can be the prisoner of our own lack of self-esteem. We can be the prisoners of people's opinion, public popularity. But tonight the invitation is, come, be in my battlefield. I will lead you from the front. Come, be my prisoner. I will look after you. Oh Lord, you have been my refuge in every age. When I say in every age, when I say every refuge means every single detail. Whether it is your finances, whether it is your spiritual needs, family needs, your career, whatever it may be, God has you in his mind. He knows you by name. And you are precious. We are precious. We are honored. And he loves us. Amen.